Well, I'm David Kiley, editor-in-chief of AOL Autos, which is a website to get news and information about the auto industry, as well as shopping information if you're in market for a car.
So, David, I love this whole concept, this whole idea for an article. Are Americans too big to drive small cars? Now, your recent article at AOLAutos.com, you say that because of things like rising gas prices, we are being encouraged to buy smaller and smaller cars. But this is a real problem because Americans are getting bigger and bigger.
That's right. And there's two interesting wrinkles to the story, I think. And I should say, for full disclosure, that I'm about 5'11 and about 285. So I'm a big guy. Some of this is in the minds of the consumer, because they look at a small car and they say, oh, I could never drive that. But in fact, I can tell you, since I test drive almost everything, that some of the smaller cars, like the Honda Fit and the Nissan Versa, for example, are actually quite roomy and quite friendly for larger people. Now, the interesting flip side of this is that bigger cars, I find that I test drive, can be much more limiting and cramping, like a Ford Taurus, for example. And one of the reasons for this is they've all gone to these big center consoles with all the gadgets and the knobs and everything else that they want to dial into a new car. And so that center console goes all the way down to the floor. And so one of the limiting things of a big person is that your leg, you know, will sort of wind up resting uncomfortably against that thing that goes all the way down to the floor. Conversely, on the other side, on the door, a lot of designers don't, I think, take into consideration the larger American, and they design the door on the left in such a way that stuff is sticking out. It's not, you know, and again, it's sort of digging into your leg, or it's into your thigh, creating a lot of discomfort. So some of this is real, because some small cars are flat out too small for the larger people. Like a little bit with the new Ford Fiesta, somewhat I sat in a new Hyundai Accent that's coming out, and the Kia Rio. These are all the little cars with very high fuel economy that everybody seems to want us to drive, but in some cases it's real, and in some cases it is psychological. And so my advice is, don't write off a small car if you're trying to increase your fuel economy. Really, make no assumptions, because it all has to do with how they've designed the cockpit.
Yeah.
And some are winners and some are losers with big people.
And, you know, not even if you're a normal size person or a small person, if you're used to driving an SUV,
right,
and you get into some of these cars that aren't really that small, you're going to feel confined. So it's psychological, I think, as well as actual, if you know what I mean.
Well, here's the other thing, and some of this is physics and some of it is psychological. Because there are so many big SUVs on the road in America, much more so than, say, in Europe, a lot of people just assume that, well, I'm not going to drive a small car because in a crash I'm going to come out on the losing end. Well, there is something to that, but some of the smaller cars we've learned recently, they have so much safety engineering dialed into them that they actually get higher crash ratings by the insurance institute or the government than some of the larger SUVs. So that which is totally counterintuitive. Now, even if you're in a 5-star or 4-star crash-rated small car, and you're in, say, a T-bone accident or something like that with a big Chevy Suburban, there is a good chance that you're going to come out on the short end of that, depending on how the crash takes place. Mm-hmm. And psychologically, and I have to say, based on my experience, a lot, so with women in particular, are not comfortable with the idea of driving a small car, or, you know, driving in a small car with a child. That's the other big psychological thing. When people have children, they often go up in size with their vehicle, not only to accommodate another person in the family and all of the gear that goes with that, but also because they have a much greater sense of safety and security. But let me just tell you, you're safer in a well crash tested and a highly rated small car with your safety belt on than you are in an SUV with it off.
Well, what about cars like just coming to mind, the Mini Cooper those little cars, the smart cars? Can a big person ever get in one of those and feel comfortable?
Yes, I've driven both the smart car and the Mini. And again, you know, I'm a pretty good sized guy, and I actually fit quite well in those. And you wouldn't think so with the smart car, except again, sometimes these small vehicles are designed in the interior so that there's actually a lot of room and space. Now, again, you know, you sort of back to the on a safety issue. Even though the smart has tested fairly well in crash testing, if you are in an accident with a smart and you're driving a smart car and you're with and you're in an accident with something much larger, physics is going to take over because, I mean, even if it absorbs crash, a car that light and small meeting up with an SUV could easily be, you know, sent, you know, 10, 20, 30 feet just because it's so much lighter. And then, you know, once you get hit and you get sent flying a bit, who knows what you're going to hit. So, yeah. I mean, there is a weight, and just, again, the laws of physics take over. But, you know, I think the really important thing for everybody is to make no assumptions. Do your research on the car that you're interested in, on everything from fuel economy to the crash ratings, and absolutely fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Because I think making too many assumptions just about size, we're going to not embrace and drive a lot of the cars that should be purchased for their much greater fuel economy, which I think we've decided as a society we want to drive cars that are much more fuel efficient.
Now, as editor-in-chief of AOL Autos, do you think that car makers are responding to the fact that America is getting bigger?
Well, you know,
do you see evidence of that?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. When I talk to the designers and the engineers, they do talk about certain things, but you know, that they're doing and they're trying to do. But, you know, I'll tell you something funny. When you talk to these designers and you meet them, they all seem to be these people, and most of them still are men, although I do meet a lot of women in the field too, but most still are men, and they all seem to be, you know, about 160 pounds, European,
yeah,
wearing these pencil-thin pants and jackets and things like that. So, you know, I wonder if some of the size bias isn't creeping into these car designs.
That's so interesting. But what about, we're talking about small cars and mm-hmm. fuel efficiency. Do people always, with smaller cars, save money on gas? And how much are they really saving?
Well, certainly, you know, if you're driving a, a Ford Fiesta, which gets around, you know, 40 miles to the gallon, and you've traded into that from, you know, let's say an old Ford Explorer, which would have gotten, you know, less than 20, you are saving a lot of money over time. Certainly is the more expensive gas is, the more you're saving. And of course, if you're holding on to that vehicle, you know, for a long period of time, the savings are going to mount up. But one of the things that I find really interesting is that even before you get into things like hybrids and electrics, car companies are really pulling out the stops now and rolling in all of the available technology that is available. For example, the Subaru Impreza, which is a pretty small car, the last generation, I think the highway mileage topped out at about 26 or 27. Well, the new one, the highway mileage tops out at 36. That's a huge jump from mm-hmm. one generation of car to the next. Hyundai, too, is doing a terrific job with their fuel economy. The new Hyundai Elantra, for example, I think gets about 40 on the highway. And it's technology that's been around for a while, but there was not a big incentive to sort of roll it up all together into one car, because obviously the more technology you put in a car, the more expensive the cost is to the automaker who's making it.
Hmm. Well, that's fascinating. This is great stuff. So to wrap up, if you are a big person
mm-hmm.
and you say, I want a small car, I want that fuel economy, what are the most important things that you should be looking at to make sure that you will be comfortable in the car and you'll get that important savings as well?
Well, here's the thing. When you the best thing I could excuse me, the best thing I can recommend is, if there's a car that you want to drive or that you think you might want to own, see if you can rent it. Because if you go to a dealership for a test drive, your test drive might be, 20 or 30 minutes tops. If you can possibly rent the car and drive it for a whole weekend and maybe drive it for 150 or 200 miles, that would be the best thing. Because here's the thing, when you sit behind the wheel, you want to feel for where there are touch points. In other words, where is the car touching you? Because it might not be a big deal for a 20-minute run to the mall and back, but if you're doing a lot of long commuting or take a lot of long trips, those touch points are going to wear on you and be uncomfortable and painful. There's one car that I used to really like, the Chrysler PT Cruiser, and I can tell you that it had a really annoying set of touch points on the door. And so the first couple of times I drove it, I really liked it. I liked the styling, but that those touch points that were sort of cutting in on my side and my leg,
yeah,
became a real drag. So when I would be faced with renting one on the road, I would pass it up. So
yeah.